Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in to our boardroom chat today. God is so good and gracious, and I hope you're having a wonderful day, as I am and as you are. How are you doing, Kathy?
I'm good. This is our 301.
301.
301.
Praise the Lord.
And I got a testimony here or a comment from someone who sent something in that from Elise says, congratulations on your 300th chat, and thank you for helping increase my faith. So last time it was 300, this is 301.
Yeah, we're rolling. If I look a little tired, I am. I just flew in from California.
And are your arms tired?
Yeah, it was rough. I had to flap them hard, you know, to get here quick. And we're taping this so I could do this. So if I look a little rugged, it's because I've been preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And I only slept about 4 hours, and God's been so good and gracious. I want to ask you, Kathy, something.
Okay.
You like my crown?
Your crown?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you talking about? What crown?
My crown that's on my head.
I don't see a crown.
You don't see a crown? Well, let me give you some word.
Okay.
Psalms 103.
103.
Ready?
Well, no, I'm not.
I'm not ready.
Psalms 103. Give me a minute to get there.
Then you're going to understand my crown.
Okay.
Verse 4.
103, verse 4.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness.
Oh, that's a loving kindness crown.
And tender mercies.
And tender mercies.
I have a loving kindness.
And a tender
And I
mercy.
Have tender mercies, praise
Crowns.
The Lord. And he's redeemed me from destruction.
Wow.
That's why I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out.
That's
so don't
blessed.
Get mad at me. I just accepted what God said he would do. And, you know, and how I do that is only say what he says. You know, in St. John chapter 12, I believe verse 49 and 50, we paraphrase it this way. I only say what my father says, and I only do what my father says to do. Well, in verse 5 of Psalms 103, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Wow.
I'm growing older, but I ain't getting old.
That's
what you think?
That's good. I like it.
So you like my crown?
I love the crown. I got one too.
You got one too.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I want people to understand and know that if destruction's around you, you don't have to have it. I don't deny what I see or anything of that nature in this world. I deny its right because God said I like the word redeem. He redeemeth thy life from destruction.
Oh, I have even better. From the Amplified Bible, in verse 4, it says, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption.
Amen.
Who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy.
Yeah, my daughter, Jody, she's in the studio, and she's told me this several times in the past. Daddy, you have no idea how many people love you. I say, well, I'm lovable. I like being lovable. What's wrong with that, you know? I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm close. No. just joking.
He didn't ask me.
Yeah, I didn't ask us. No. I'm close, you know. But when you understand that you've been redeemed from what Satan wants to do to you, it makes a good day in the neighborhood.
Yes,
that doesn't
it does.
Mean he doesn't fight. That doesn't mean he don't try to attack and things of that nature. But I kind of tell him, like Kathy tells me, talk to the hand. I said, what you said? She said, call, wait. What else you use? You got all kinds
Stereo.
Of different. Stereo. All kinds of different things.
Anyway,
and it's just
surround sound.
Surround sound, yeah. It's such a blessing to know we've been redeemed.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scriptures when I first started out in the ministry 50 years ago was Psalms 107, verse 2. Can you quote it?
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so,
Amen.
Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
That's right. Now, when that was wrote, none of us were redeemed.
But
Jesus had not yet come.
Right, but he still showed the importance of saying so, which flows with our theme for this year.
Yes, that's right. He's using the faith voice.
Use the faith voice.
He was calling those things would be not as though they were till they are.
So
it's such a blessing. So every Christian shouldn't be mad at each other. We shouldn't have trouble in church in any way, shape, or form. Leave the devil outside the church. Don't bring him in. And Sister So-and-so is not the devil because he's redeemed you and gave you a crown of loving kindness.
She act like the devil, though.
Well, sometimes they act like the devil. And tender mercies. Now, when you understand that, see, you can
tender
handle
mercies.
People that you don't like very much. One time, Kathy couldn't believe I said this, but I wasn't trying to be rude. Somebody walked up to me, and I think she was around me, and they said, we love you, Brother Jesse. I said, thank you. And Kathy thought that was just so rude or wrong. She said, why didn't you tell them you love them? I said, because I don't. No, it's not that I hate them. No, I said, but I said,
well,
thank
you're
you.
Still appreciative that
I mean,
they love
I love
you.
Them
that
in,
doesn't mean
I love
that's
them
not
in
a
the
bad
Lord.
Response.
Yeah, no, you
I
know,
found
I just
myself
said, thank
doing
you.
That sometimes too.
Do you? She's always stealing my stuff. And anyway, to make a long story short, I said, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I like them. Don't misunderstand, I don't have nothing against anybody. Mm. But I mean, I try to tell the truth as much as I possibly can. Have you ever lied? Yes, I have lied. To who? Her. Many times over the years, way back when. Not as more as a Christian. Now, you know, but buddy, as a sinner. And sometimes, I ain't going to lie, sometimes I thought I was trying to protect someone's feelings. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, no, you're just lying.
You know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
The gumbo story.
The gumbo story. You want to hear the gumbo story?
I would love to hear the gumbo story.
This is 48 years ago. I went to a place in North Louisiana. And, you know, people try to be nice to us, and it's such a blessing. And they want to cook something, because we Cajun people, you know?
Yeah.
So we, you know, let's face it, we got the best food in the world. That's why most of us are fat. And it's just the way it is. But anyway, to make a long story short.
I don't think you're talking about me.
No, did I say it? I said, I'm going to keep my crown of loving kindness. I ain't answering that. But anyway, so.
You're not lying. No, you're just not answering.
I ain't answering. So what happened was, they always want to cook a gumbo. And I prefer, like when I go somewhere, like I was in California. And guess what? They said, do you like Mexican food? Yeah, because they got a lot of Mexican food there. And it was very, very tasty and very good. Don't misunderstand it. So I like to eat what they eat. I don't want them to try to cook something because they're just not, I don't mean this, they ain't going to get there. They mean well. Yes, a blessing. So anyway, I was invited to this lady who was very influential in that church that I was preaching at her home because she wanted to cook me, and she cooked me a gumbo. Mm. And I should have noticed it. But when I walked in, it didn't smell like a gumbo because they didn't have the Holy Trinity in it. What's the Holy Trinity?
The Trinity. They don't call it Holy Trinity. Just the Trinity, which is the onion, the bell pepper, and the celery. That's the pretty much the basis, along with the roux, for every Cajun dish, just about.
And I mean, it's just really good. So, you know, we were talking, and then her husband wasn't too friendly because he wasn't born again, see? Mm. And so she takes and she puts the gumbo down, gave me a bowl of gumbo, gave him one. And the little boy and the dog. And I should have picked up something from the dog. The dog go, you know how dogs are, you know, how they do this with their eyes? So I got my spoon, we prayed over it. Nice, you know, like that. And the man was waiting for me to eat it. Mm-hmm. And they all had this spoon. So I took it like this and I put it to the spoon and I went. And it was the worst I've ever taken. It's like a duck dove into it and dove out, left all the dirt in it. It flew off. It was terrible. And yet the man had his spoon like this.
Waiting to see what you would
do. And the boy had his spoon like this. And the dog going, And the lady asked, she said, well, do you like it? And I was going to lie like a dog. You know, mm-hmm. You're in somebody's house, you know.
Right.
I said, Lord, said, tell her the truth. I said, man, God, I can't tell her the truth. He said, tell her the truth. So I went, ma'am, this is trash. This is the worst trash I've ever tasted in my
trash
life.
Gumbo. I trash. Think we have that story in one of the Mary Hart series.
This is trash. The man take his spoon, husband, he throw it down on the table. I thought he going to run me out of his house. He said, you're the first preacher that's ever came here and told the truth. He said, preachers came here. That woman's got the worst gumbo I've ever tasted in my life, too. I told her, I don't want her to cook it. The dog won't eat it. Mm-hmm. He said, but you're the only one that told the truth. I'm coming to hear you tonight.
Oh, wow.
Boy, because I thought, man, I'm going to get my butt kicked out of here, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he came that night and got born again.
Praise God.
And it was just such a blessing of the Lord. But I didn't want to say that. No. I mean, whew, that's probably one of the hardest obediences I've ever had. She said, well, and her husband says right in front of me, honey, don't never cook this again. Never.
She says, I thought y'all all liked it.
I thought y'all liked it. Well, they were trying not to hurt her feelings,
right,
you see?
Right, right.
And, but anyway, you could.
Did she eat it?
I don't know if she did. But the dog, I mean, to put somebody the dog, he said, watch that. And the dog go, I mean, the dog wouldn't have anything to do. It was hilarious, but it was not easy. Yeah. And I thought about how I hope he redeems me from destruction here. I got problems on my hand.
Yeah, he did.
And but I had to tell the lady the truth. But I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I was gonna lie because, you're in a rock and a hard place here.
Right.
But it set someone free.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I went back there several years. This is many, many years ago. And wonderful people invited me. And they never. I said, y'all just cook you know, what y'all do in this area? You know, what do y'all, what's y'all
what's
dishes?
Your specialty? Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just,
you
such
know, there's a lot of people within the churches. Sometimes it's a man, sometimes it's a woman, that they're like the hospitality person of the church.
Right.
I remember we went to one church in Alabama, and the man was the host of the church. This man made a gumbo, and it was in Alabama, and it was a great gumbo. I remember he made it, but I think he had some Cajun roots.
Oh, he knew. One time we was in a certain state, I'm not going to mention it, and they made some gumbo. And I was watching Kathy's face. You know what I'm talking about, huh?
I do.
She
I
goes,
do, exactly.
Mm-hmm. When Kathy's eyebrow go up like that, either she's mad or she's about ready to die. And she was nice. She just... Ooh, ooh, and I was waiting for her to lie like a dog. But thank God they didn't ask, you know.
Yeah, and I could find something good about it. And I think
what?
I did. I said, well, there was one piece of shrimp in there that I ate.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, well, that shrimp was really good.
Yeah, it was really nice, you know.
And but there are some people, and I was thinking about stories of all the, over the years, how many people, because a lot of churches you went to didn't have, like, fine hotels in the area or nice restaurants.
Nothing.
So the church would put you in a evangelistic headquarters, or they would.
You know, you just made me laugh. You know what I said to Kenan? I just came in from California. They were going to the airport, and I passed the 7-Eleven, and I said, "You see them stores? I used to eat supper there all the time."
Because then nothing else was open.
Nothing. Way back when.
I was thinking about a story about, you know, went to a church, and after service we were going to the woman's house, who was the woman who loved, her gift was hospitality, and she loved to have all the visiting evangelists come through, and she put on a big supper afterwards. And this was the most unusual one, because I'd never been to one with you, and I've been to many, and they always were so kind. Everybody's very kind
very,
and
very
generous.
Nice.
Always had a nice fellowship time, but they give you their best. And this one woman was so gifted, and she had this photo album that she brought out. And you didn't know this. You went to one of their bedrooms to change clothes, because you were all wet from preaching, and you had brought a jogging suit to change into. And so you changed clothes.
I brought everything. I sweat. You ever sweat through a sport coat? I mean, a suit coat. And I mean, I sweat through my underwear. I was so hot in that place. So I brought everything.
Yeah, so you would change everything. And so he's in there changing, and he doesn't know that while I'm inside in there waiting for him to change, and she's getting the food ready and everything, she showed me an album with all the different evangelists and people that have come through the church that were in her home that she fed. And so she's going after one after the other. She showed me all this. I thought it was such a blessing, such a sweet lady. But later on, we didn't realize till we got home that night that Jesse, when he had...
But they let me take a little quick shower, too. That was kind of nice.
Well, I didn't know what everything that happened. But I do know that when he got home, he got his clothes out of the bag and realized that he left
something. My underwear.
He left his underwear at the lady's house.
The lady's
and
house.
So I had him going, Jesse, she's probably taking a picture of that and talking about all the things. Jesse, the planet has been in my home. And look, he left
his drawers.
But she didn't even know. She didn't even know. I called the pastor. I said, look, I got a covert operation for you. And so it was funny. We all laughed about it. So I gave him the FedEx number, put it in there, don't tell anybody. So, but maybe she had to take a picture. I don't
maybe
think so.
I don't know. I never had a
but
Southern
guy. But she was gracious.
Said,
she wouldn't have made a big deal about it. But you was like a heart. You almost had a heart attack.
I almost had a heart attack. It was so funny. I talked to some Southern guy one time. He told me, I said, I left my underwear. He said, you mean you left your drawers? I like to fell out. I said, yeah.
And it wasn't clean.
No,
it was
stinking. I sweat like a mule.
And so I said, oh, Jesse, she's got it in that album.
And
I
have never went back there.
No, you couldn't face her.
And but I mean, it's just true. You know, sometimes you just.
But you know, there are
since
people that have a gift of
underwear,
hospitality. No, we're not.
Yes, we're going to talk about yours.
No, we're talking about hospitality.
I know. This happened.
You're changing
you
the subject.
The time that
don't
you went
talk about it
on that airplane and rock musicians.
Oh, that's a private joke. It's not a joke. It's a real thing. We're not.
How many of y'all want to know?
No,
Kathy's
we don't want to talk about
embarrassing.
We're not going to talk about that one.
Because you're going to lose your crown of loving kindness, huh?
You might lose your crown of loving kindness.
Well,
if
anyway,
you keep pushing
praise
the subject.
Lord, you know, God has been so good. And
but
the reason why we just stopped, because he just redeemed me from destruction. See, the scriptures here. We own that. Go ahead, Kathy. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I lost it already.
You lost it. You got nervous.
No,
I'm telling that thing. That was something. Let me read the scripture, ladies and gentlemen.
I got comfortable on the long flight to South Africa. A little bit of it.
Okay, a little.
I guess I should.
Yeah, you should.
It was a long flight to South Africa, and I didn't realize I think we upgraded to first class, and they gave us these soft pajamas to wear. It's like really a jogging suit. So yeah. I said,
it was real nice.
I'm going to get into this comfortable clothes, because we had a good 20-hour flight.
And you told me something I had never heard
before. And so I hung everything on the hanger, my clothes that I had on.
And your
bra.
Because
I had to get back in it. Oh, you want to tell us?
Yeah. She said, my wires are sticking there. My wires. I said, what wires?
Anyway.
I didn't know they had big wires.
I thought I'd secured everything on the hanger that I had taken off to get comfortable. And then I walked the way they had the closet was at the front of the plane. So I had to walk. We were in like first class. And it was only about maybe 20 people in this first section.
And a rock
musician. But the only part. Can I tell?
Yeah, you can tell it.
There's only Jesse and I on a few other people in this whole rock band was on the other side. It must have had 10 of them. And so we didn't really talk to them a whole lot. I think you did a little bit, but we just resting as a long flight. So here it is. I'm bringing it to the front and they'll go and sit in my seat. I must have dropped something behind me. I didn't notice something fell out. And one of the members of that band came to me and said, ma'am, this must be yours. How to behave in a cave. Where's a big cave when you need
one? And I wanted to say, she hates that one because it's got wires in it. She wanted to get rid of it. I couldn't get over it.
I don't know why, but it was embarrassing. It's more embarrassing to talk about it. Thank you for bringing that up, Mr. Loving Kindness.
What about that time they lost all your luggage?
Mercies.
You remember when you were going to South Africa? They lost all your luggage?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And she got mad. I mean, Kathy don't get mad, but she is hot. She said, I don't have any clothes. I don't have no underwear or nothing. I went, hallelujah. And she got so mad, you know? And they said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a motivational speaker.
They lost my luggage.
I'm a preacher.
And then on the next stop, they took away my carry-on, which is all I had left. I said, look, there's lots of room on the plane because you lost my luggage on the other flight. So don't worry about the weight. Oh, ma'am, it won't fit in there. It will fit. I kept seeing other people go past that had bags at least as big or bigger than mine. But the problem was Jesse said he was going to help me. I said, no, I got this. But he says he's going to carry it. So he carries it, and he goes sashay himself and get right in front, right next to the stewardess.
You want me to do the slick way of doing it? You know?
Well, that's what you do. You slip in and you hide it. You don't make it focal point of the... you don't put it in front of you, you put it behind you.
You weren't a very nice Christian
when you fly internationally, there was this, from the U.S., there was a standard, the case fit in that. But when we got into the nation
smaller.
Of Australia, theirs was smaller. So my roll-on bag. No, this was Australia.
Okay.
I know what I'm talking about.
All right.
So we put it in that one, and she says, oh, it won't fit. I said, look, it'll fit. And I was in first class. So I said, it will fit under my case, and it would have. And so she just wouldn't be moved. So I said...
And y'all got mad at each other.
I got mad at her.
She would like a movie.
I said, I want your name because I'm going to go look.
What's your name?
I said, look. And he had got me this Louis Vuitton roll-on, so it was a really fine case. I said, look, everything in the bag is not as valuable to me as with this bag. You're not taking my bag. But she took it. I did get it back, but I wasn't proud of myself the way I acted.
There was a guy sitting there, and he's looking at Kathy. I didn't have a whole lot
of tender mercy.
Kathy was losing it. She didn't have no tender mercy. The man looked at me. I said, don't look at me.
I had no loving kindness.
I married her.
But my crown was crooked.
Your crown was crooked. It kind of cooked to the side.
I had to straighten it back up.
But, I mean, thank God that he redeemed this.
It's been a long time since I've done
destruction.
Something like
that. I mean,
redeemed her from destruction.
Oh, man, I thought they two were going to go at it there for a second, you know, and I didn't want to put my two cents in because I had a lot.
Because you started it.
I did not start. I just was pulling the bag, and you didn't think I was pulling it the way I should pull it.
You put it in front and center, and it got her attention. She couldn't overlook it. It was her job, you know.
But you were trying to sneak something on there.
That's why after I realized my case may not have been exactly the size that was expected.
Don't criticize. That's why I bought a plane. Kathy wouldn't backslide and go to hell. I had to get her own plane.
That's not why.
I'm just joking, man. We've had some funny times.
I have forgiven him.
Yes, she has forgiven me. Nomine patria fili. Espiritu Santo. Praise God.
But you brought it up.
I know. But so we've had some... unique things that have happened to us traveling, which now that we look back,
it was a good
it's funny. It was a lot. It's kind of nice to laugh at yourself. Go ahead, Kathy.
They say it's a sign of mental good mental health.
If you can laugh at yourself.
And I can.
Yes, you can.
I've laughed at myself a lot.
Many times. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when you, can I get back to the scripture?
Please, please do.
We went from underwear to who?
Anyway. I need to read some testimonies maybe while you get your grips. Okay. I have a YouTube says, watching from Norway.
From Norway? Mm-hmm. I'm going to book something in Norway. I've been wanting to go. I've never been there. And I want you to pray with me because I got to get this all scheduled together. But I want to come to Norway. And so be praying. And if I do, I want you to come visit us. Go ahead, God.
And this says from Dorothy, says, good morning from Bungamba, Kenya. Kenya.
Let me see that. What's that name? Yeah, that's it. Bungamba. Bungamba.
Sandra says, congratulations on 50 years of ministry and service. I have been an e-member since 2020. I love you both and pray for you. Unlimited appreciation for praying for us. Watching from South Carolina. And then Susan says, enjoying your ministry on Use Your Faith Voice during your 50th year in the ministry.
That.
John says, congratulations. Don't believe I've missed a single one of the board chats.
Now that board is something.
That's good. Thanks, John.
Good.
This is 301.
Thank you. That's a blessing of God.
And Dolly says, hi, Jesse and Kathy. Love your ministry. Binging on your chats with my son Liam in Texas.
Praise
His last
Lord.
One says, just received my travel mug from you. Love it. Love your ministry.
This is it.
Remember,
right
we toasted in it.
Yes,
let's do it again.
And you call this merch.
Yeah, it's a merch. It's short for merchandise.
Well, I understand that. I figured that out. You know what I'm saying?
You did.
I certainly did. You know, hallelujah. So when you understand what God is saying, if you're going through some hard times, I'll give you a statement that Brother B.B. Hankins, who's now in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
I love B.B. Mark Hankins' father. He said, tough people do.
Tough times don't last, tough people do.
Tough times don't last, but tough people do. And that's really true. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord.
But when you mess up and you drop stuff you're not supposed to be dropping.
Everybody embarrasses themselves. Have you had an embarrassing moment?
You keep moving forward.
Have you had an embarrassing moment, Chrissy? Yeah, man, all of us have. You know, this one time I went to a bank and I waited, and there was like four or five cars in front of me, you know, to get to the window. And finally I got there and I said, you know, and can't you get some other people in here to kind of help on this window? And I gave her name. She pushed it back. She said, you had the wrong bank. I said, never mind.
I did it too. I remember when we were first branching out into television and we bought time locally, and I'm watching, make sure they put it on time, on the right time, and everything's right. And the program wasn't on. I said, where's the program? So I called up the station. I said, where is the program, ma'am?
And you were pretty rough.
I was strong, saying, look, our program's supposed to be on there. What's going on, ma'am? There's been a time change.
Yeah.
I think that was a daylight saving. Never mind. I had a Rosanna Dana moment, and I have many of those.
Never mind. I mean, everybody's done. I'm assuming anyway that everybody does that thing. But we don't have much sense. We just tell you what we do wrong, and we tell you what we do right. And I think you honor that. You know what I'm saying? Because we normal. We just normal people.
I don't think
you don't think we're normal?
Far from normal. But in a good way.
The Lord has been so good and gracious.
Who wants to be average? Nobody.
Yeah, I think about, and I often wonder, I've never asked this. I see so many people, ministries, having all kind of trouble. And I want to say this, and I haven't. What's going on behind closed doors?
Hmm.
How is the devil getting to you people? How? You know, because you shut them doors, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got the shield of faith to start with, and you got this whole armor of God on. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Every angel at the bid and command of God will come to your rescue. I'm telling you, every kind you can think of. And yet I see a lot of that because I don't think they have what I call loving kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not, it's sad, you know. There was a lady in the Bible, and her name was Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Abraham was looking for a wife for his son, Isaac. And what she did when they sent, she went out there, and I get maybe women did that in those days, but they really didn't notice what she did. She watered the camel. She did everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I'm pretty sure she probably knew that they were coming to see if she was the lady that should marry Isaac or something like that. But she didn't care how she looked, I guess, because she, you know, watering camels, picking up buckets. And.
But she went the extra mile and was kind
yes.
to someone.
And it's so wonderful to do that.
Extended a courtesy.
And it was such a blessing of the Lord, you know. And
you recognized something special about her.
Yeah. Psalms 103 is such a phenomenal chapter. You should study it out. It actually starts in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. And in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I'm so glad he's done that. Mm-hmm. Who healeth all thy diseases. Now, you know, some people say, well, no, Lord, the Lord sent that disease to you.
No.
Well, where'd he get it?
No.
He'd have to go to hell to get it, and he ain't doing that.
It's all.
Yeah. And then who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Brother Copeland said that one time not too long ago, and I really like what he said, because we're good friends. He said, I'm growing older, but I'm not getting old. And he's 89 years old. And I thought, yeah, no, that's a good statement to have, you know, and things of that nature. And now I am growing older, but I'm not getting old. But I mean, you can see it, especially when I'm a little tired. The other night I was preaching, I said, I call this my Christmas stocking. You can just put stuff in it if you want. And a good friend of mine, he said, I know how to get that out of there, man. I'll show you the place to go. They just cut that sucker off, man, get rid of it and all that kind of stuff. I said, does it hurt? Oh, yeah, it hurts. I said, I've had enough pain in my life, you know, that kind of stuff. But I realized that the Lord is with me at all times, and he's a redeemer that has redeemed. Now, I'm going to say this, in 50 years of ministry, I don't ever remember wanting to backslide in any way, shape, or form. And because I said, to what? I mean, why would I, to what, you know? And according to the world, before I was saved, I had everything the world was wanting. I was making money, and I was getting famous, doing everything that the world reaches out to. And but it doesn't bring you any happiness. But when I met that Lord, met the Lord, and it was through Kathy's witness and through a statement Kathy said in Boston, when she told me that Billy Graham pulls more people than you do. And I thought, you know, that guy does fill up stadiums.
I was trying to get you to watch him.
But it was a good statement.
I said, he must
statement.
Be saying it, something. And you
yeah.
didn't take it in a harsh way.
No, no.
I didn't mean it that
well,
way,
know,
but it sounds like that.
I never thought about what you said. He must be saying something.
Yeah,
I thought
it's
about
a logical
he
thing.
Filled up the stadium, you know.
Yeah,
so I thought I would listen to get her off my back, you know. But God had me set up for salvation,
yes.
for soundness. And that's when I left the hotel room right there, went into the bathroom right there, closed that door, and didn't know how to pray. I think I got one of the best salvation prayers anyone has ever prayed. Most people say you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. You know, Jesus Christ raised from the dead, you're saved. Some people say, Lord, I repent. And you got to repent. You know, you're going to freak out when I say this. All I said, I didn't say repent. I didn't know what to say. You know, I just went like this. And I knew something was going on, couldn't quite figure it out. I said, whatever Billy said. That's the exact words. Boom, I got born again right then and there. And Jody was outside the door. I didn't know it. You know, when I opened that door, Jody was 3 years old, just looking at me. Them big old blue eyes of her. She said, Mama, Daddy ain't going to hell no more. I looked at Joe and said, did your mama tell you I was going to hell? Uh-huh. Kathy said, I look at Kathy, well, I can't lie to her. You know?
We were both praying for you, and we were happy.
Yeah.
She was happy that day.
I don't know. Jody, can
sweet.
You remember that? I don't know if you remember that. She's behind the camera right now. But anyway, I never forget. I had never seen sin before. And that's it. I'm telling you, I never did. I just did whatever I want when I wanted. Care who it hurt, whatever. And when I went into that nightclub, actually, I was behind the curtain. And when we started that show, dum, 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 dum. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the announcer, when the curtain is opening up and the mirror ball's kicking. And this place was beautiful the night before. 3,000 people there, see? I mean, this was beautiful. And I couldn't see nothing but ugliness. I saw sin. And I'd never seen that before. And I've never forgotten that, you know? Sin's ugly to God, and it should be ugly to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I never get. And I remember you were so shocked when I came back, because Kathy, when I left the room, she wouldn't see me till maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. We do the shows and all kind of stuff. But I had three shows that night. So I took a break in between them, you know. And I went back up to the hotel room. She said, "You thought something was wrong. What's wrong?" And I remember saying, "I can't do this no more. I mean, I love to play the music. And I wasn't mad at the people. I just that I
you
had changed.
You didn't fit there anymore, right?
Well, what? No. What happened? He redeemed me.
Mm-hmm.
Redemption was applied to me. I didn't know how,
he
what, where.
He redeemed your life from the pit and corruption. That's the Amplified.
Yeah, I mean, I thought.
You saw the corruption for the first time.
Yeah, for the very first time.
You were blind to it before then.
Yeah, I'm completely blind to it. And then, I mean, I never even thought of it. You used to use the word that you were indifferent to God. Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't think about God one way or the other. When I heard the gospel, heard Billy Graham come on TV, I remember Jody was about a year and a half old at the time, or just a little over a year, and I was rocking her on the side of the bed. And the TV in the hotel room didn't have a remote. It was before those things came out.
Yeah.
That's how old I am. Anyway, whatever I was watching went off, and then Billy Graham came on, and I didn't want to wake Jody up, so I stopped, and I was still listening. And I prayed the prayer, and my life was totally changed. But before that point, I was indifferent. I didn't think about God or I didn't think about heaven or hell. But once I met Jesus and prayed that prayer, my life was, it's like stadium
lights. You were completely
stadium
changed.
Lights sort of like went on, and so then, because God is real, then heaven is real and hell is real. And I didn't want anybody to go there. This is why I was praying so much for you.
Well, you sent me to hell a lot of times.
No, I did not. You were going there all on your own. I don't have anything to do with that, but I had a little bit to do with the other part.
I heard them statements. Anyway.
I was trying to get you out of there.
This has been the craziest boat
home
chat.
It's been one of our more radical ones.
Yeah, more radical ones. But I want you to know, no matter what.
Maybe we're
you
on a trend now. This is 301. Well, what's this way it's going to go in the next 300?
Yeah, who knows? No matter what you think of me or what I think of you, he redeemed us from destruction.
Amen.
You remember that. You got a friend. You may not think you have a friend in life, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And if you'll accept him today, he'll give you a crown of loving kindness. And tender mercies. Thank you, partners, for all you do for this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
As we close out today, I thank every partner. Without your faithful financial support, we couldn't do anything here at Jesse the Planner's Ministry. None. And I mean that. And 100% of what you give goes into world evangelism. You know why? Because we love you. I've had the IRS say this to me through my faith. Mm-hmm. You never touch that money. I never will. Well, it's not mine. It's yours. And you gave it to God's work. That's his. I know what's mine. And I don't do that. If I was at your home and your purse was there, I wouldn't go looking in it. Or if your husband's wallet was there, I wouldn't go looking in it. That's none of my business. I thank you, partners, for helping me. And if you're not a partner, would you pray about becoming one? We ask the Lord for every dollar given to our ministry to give us a soul into the kingdom. If you'd like to be a partner, and I hope you do, go to jdm.org. That's our website. Hit a donate button. The amount's up to you. You can use PayPal if you like. Or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. Or you can go to the free JDM app and select the giving you want.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do like I do, you know, just mail in a check, use the post office, whatever you do. I hope you do. We're believing God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's $20 million. I know what you think. That's a lot of people. And I don't mean to sound prideful or arrogant. I have millions of people watching me. Not millions, maybe billions.
Oh,
I can't go
watching.
Anywhere
and we have
that
one,
people don't know who I am.
Almost, we're getting close to 1.8 million followers just on the platforms. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more than that. People
we've had,
that are watching
I think
and tuning
George, correct me, he's in the thing back there. I think since January 2020 to the end of this year, we've had, what, like 114, 115 million people, some way, shape, or form, contacting this ministry. So thank you. What do you want to do with the $20 million? Well, we got two projects that we're going to pay cash for. We are totally debt-free and completely.
Yes.
And
we're always expanding, always growing, always listening to God of what
Amen.
Does he want us to do next. God right. knows what's ahead, so we're following
yeah,
his
just
instructions.
Me and Kathy on Romans 13:8, people owe no man anything but the love of
you. Mm-hmm.
We're not against people borrowing money, please. Don't think that way. I'm just saying I hope you hear our heart and even our laughter. And some of our foolishness, or maybe some of our embarrassments. But you know what? We don't mind telling you because we love you. We really do. We pray for people that watch us. We pray for our partners. So until next time, remember this. You got a crown on your head.
Yes.
He's redeemed you from that destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And he's given you a crown of loving kindness.
And
he's given tender
mercies.
Till next time. Jesse and Kathy saying, see you. All right? God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.